On occasion, a Believer's Voice of Victory program is so good, we're prompted to bring it to you again. Today, join Kenneth Copeland and Charles Capps as they reveal how to understand the heart of God.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I will warn you right now. I'm telling you, Brother Capps has got his gun loaded today. We're going to get into something today that's going to clean the devil's clock. It is going to... He is in for a major put down today, and you are going to release the power of God in your life. I'm telling you, right? Hey, you ain't going anywhere. You turn that VCR on, turn the recorder on, turn whatever you have to, get online. You've got to have this today. Father, we give you the praise and the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we've been talking about, Brother Capps has been taking us step by step by step through certain scriptures that have, through religion, through the carnal mind, man-made up stuff, and all different kinds of ways that the devil try to get people to do this. And you get it twisted to where it's preached God's will was to do this, when all the time it was God's will to do that. And in doing so, steal your faith, and all the time you thought it was God when it wasn't. Now, the big one. I'm telling you, all of us that have been in this kind of ministry any time at all have seen this steal everything from people's children, from people's health, people's money, all different kinds of stuff in the 40-plus years that Brother Charles and I have been in this our ministries. We have seen this thing just wreak havoc, and people didn't even know it. They couldn't put a finger on it, and I wondered about it a long time. And God began to minister to me about it, but I want you to take us over there, Charles, in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans.
Okay. Before we get to that, let me just make some statements here about some things that'll help you understand about faith, why it is so important. Faith is important because you can't please God without it. Now, sometimes... Brother Copeland, there's people can believe with all their heart and don't have an ounce of Bible faith.
Yeah, and don't know why.
No. And they say, well, I know I believe God. The fact is that sometimes they release their faith in what happened to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
If God did it for Brother so-and-so, he'll do it for me. But Brother so-and-so, did you give like he did? Did you pray like he did? Did you have faith? Did you develop your faith? Did you develop your confession like he did?
Yeah.
See, that's a cop-out. It won't necessarily happen to you just because it happened to Brother so-and-so. So you could believe with all your heart it's going to happen, but if it's on the wrong principles, it's not going to happen. It has to be Bible faith, and Bible faith only comes from the Bible. It don't come from hearing what happened to somebody else. It has to be based on the authority of the Word of God.
Then the easiest cop-out for that is blame it on God.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why he healed him and wouldn't heal me.
And they're right. Yeah. They did believe, but it wasn't Bible faith.
Oh, I see it.
We've been talking about pulling thorns and chunking rocks out of your garden and get it to where it'll produce good fruit. And that's one of the major things that people get tripped up on. If you're not confessing the Word and if it's not based on the authority of the Word, you could believe with all your heart and not have an ounce of Bible faith.
Charles, you know, I can see in here where this is the reason it is so important. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But in that chapter, it was talking about the preached Word primarily. That's the reason it's so important to be in a church that'll build your faith and go through these principles and so forth and have books and tapes and tools and the internet to flow that where the revelation, where the God's revealing of himself and his will for you to grow and abound is so important.
It is. It really is. And you know, the understanding the intent of these verses is so important concerning faith. That's one of the things that steals a lot of people's faith. They miss the intent of the Word. And let's go to Romans 8, we could, and get right into it. In Romans, the 8th chapter, you will notice that Paul says in, let's start with verse 26, says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." In other words, when you don't know what to pray as you ought, it says, "But the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us." Mm-hmm. Now follow this closely, because this is a passage of Scripture that people use in all kinds of situations. I've heard it quoted from everything to car wrecks to somebody committing suicide. "Well, you know what the Bible says, all things work together for good." No, it doesn't. The Apostle Paul didn't believe that, and he's the one that wrote it.
That's right.
He said, that we're talking about Romans 8:28. We haven't got to it yet, but everybody knows it because they've quoted it a lot of times. And let's look at the intent of what was said. Now, start in verse 27. "He that searcheth the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of," is in italics.
Yes,
it's added by the translator. So let's block that out for the purpose of seeing what it says. "Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to God."
Yes, sir.
Now, Jesus is our intercessor. The Scripture says, "Seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us." Do you reckon he knows to pray like God prays?
Absolutely.
Would God's prayers be answered?
Absolutely.
Certainly. We can't pray God the way God would pray in our normal carnal mind. So God devised a method that Jesus is in heaven, our intercessor. He intercedes through our spirit, the Holy Spirit that's in us, and prays through us in other tongues the way God would pray.
Yes, sir.
Now listen to what he says. "And we know,"
praise God,
"that all things work together for good to them that love God, them who are called according to His purpose." What all things is he talking about? All things that Jesus prayed through you in the Spirit, in tongues, about that situation.
Hallelujah.
He prayed the way God would pray about it, and he said, all things will work together for good after God has prayed about it through His Son Jesus.
He's not talking about the stuff of the devil and the curse and all that out there.
No,
He's talking about the blessing of God and the whole kingdom of God that is available to us, and we don't even know. And He is in operation to make
and
it.
And the reason reason it's so vital for people to understand this, they're sitting there thinking, "Now, loving God allowed my kid to be killed in this car wreck, but I have to say it, all things work together for good." No, it doesn't.
Even talking about
the Scripture doesn't say that. And the Apostle Paul, for instance, he said, wrote to the church at Thessalonica, he said, "I would have come to you once and again, but Satan hindered me."
Yeah.
Why didn't he say, "But you know what I said, all things work together for good"? He didn't believe
that. He said the devil hindered him.
See, the text, the intent of this, and keeping it in context, it is the Jesus, the intercessor, in heaven, praying through the Holy Spirit, in your spirit, through your mouth and your voice, praying the prayer God would pray.
And He'll reveal it to you. Praise God. Charles, I was in a meeting one time years ago, and I had to deal with this. There was a woman in that meeting. There had been a horrible, horrible car wreck. There was a guy hit their car, just T-boned it like that, at 100 miles an hour. Their car came completely in two. Mm-hmm. Their family was scattered all over the highway. They had a car full of children. She was all beat up and broken up, and the only one that wasn't hurt very bad was her husband. And he went around looking after all of his kids and came around there to her, and she said, "Brother Copeland, I can't understand why this worked like this." She said, "He wasn't hurt very bad, and he died." And she said, "We lived. I just don't understand. I guess it just all worked together." I said, let's don't cop out like that. Let's find out." She said, "Can we find out?" I said, "Oh, yeah. Now, we're going to be here several weeks, and you and I are going to set ourselves in agreement for the perfect wisdom of God and revelation about this. God will show us how." So we prayed, and we fitted in with the top part of this, not just the bottom part of it. She came back to me after about 10 days. She said, "I know exactly why." I said, "Tell me." She said, "He went around and he checked on all of us. And she said, "We were hurt bad." Said one of the children's head was really injured badly. But she said, "He leaned down over me." Now see, he's on the verge of being in shock. And his spirit's open, his brain's almost quit working, and stuff's coming out of his mouth. She said, "He leaned down in front of me, Brother Copeland, and said, 'I am a dead man.'"
Oh, wow.
Just a few days later, he died. All the rest of them lived because she just prayed and wouldn't turn loose where her children were concerned. Well, I've been teaching on the very things we've been talking about here on activating the things of God and your words and so forth. And she said, after I heard what Jesus said and what the Scripture said about this, she said, "That wasn't God working together for my good." She said, "He killed himself with his mouth." Yeah. But she said, "Brother Cole, we didn't know any better." Well, she got a hold of the word, and she got all them kids healed. Got him out of there. She said, "If we'd have known this, he'd be alive today."
You know, there was our pastor of the church there in England. He was building an office building behind his house there in Buddy Fisher. And he had a guy that was helping out there. And this guy, his saying all day long and around, he'd say, "Y'all just killing me." He's talking about the other workers. "It's just killing me. This is just killing me." And he felt led to, you know, to try to talk to this brother, I don't know whether he was saved or not, but he said he just felt impressed to. So he got him off by himself. And he said, you know, "I ought not be saying that, because you're speaking things that'll get in you. You ought to be saying good things, you know, instead of bad things." "Oh," he said, "I didn't mean anything by it. I just, I didn't mean it." And 2 weeks later, he's dead.
Oh, my goodness.
But he's been doing that, see, for a long time. He set it in motion.
You know, Charles, I've run into this.
He died of a heart attack. The man, 37 years old, I believe.
Prophesied his own death and didn't know he did it. Yeah. Well, now, and people around him that didn't know, a lot of them will go to this right here. "Well, we just don't understand, you know, and I guess, you know, something good will come out of it. All things work good." Well, if God can, he bring something good out of it, but that ain't why that happened.
Well, he starts working good out of it from the time you have prayed the way God would pray.
Yes,
I mean,
sir.
There's no way of going back and undoing what has happened, but once that prayer is prayed the way God would pray, then things start coming together for good. In other words, God gets in a situation and he works some good out of what's left there.
Yes.
You see,
yeah.
It's like that story about the little boy was riding with his dad to the see where the fire trucks was going. And every time they'd get there, the house is on fire and them little red trucks are there. And after about five times, he said, "Dad, why are them little trucks running all over town setting these houses on fire? And that's what people are saying,
yeah,
when they say, "Oh, well, it's God's working together for good." No. That's not even the intent of this.
No.
And it steals people's faith. They don't know how to believe anything else, because if you've been taught that way. But go back and search the Scriptures. You know, Paul didn't even believe all things work together for good. He's the man that wrote this. But it's what you prayed about in the Spirit that causes things to begin to work together for good.
Well, and it's things of God, not things of the devil. He's talking about intervening, intercession.
Yeah, and make the best of this situation after this already happened.
It's amazing to me how religion has painted a picture like God is doing his best to bring bad stuff on people, trying to teach them something. That is so far from God's way of doing things, Charles. All the time he sent the Holy Ghost to teach us. He didn't send the devil to teach anybody anything.
That's right. Yeah. You've got to compare what something says in one page here with the rest of the Bible. That's the reason that you need to study the whole Bible. Because when it's out of line with other scriptures in the Bible, you're misunderstanding what it said.
Absolutely.
And let me give you for an instance of this. Again, in the Isaiah, the sixth chapter or somewhere, if you read it, it seems to say that God told Isaiah to go blind Israel, where they couldn't see or understand, lest they'd be converted and he'd heal them. Now, does that sound like God to you? That's hard sayings in the Bible. But there's a scriptural balance to hard sayings. Now, the Jews believe that if God allowed it, it was God's will.
Yeah.
And that's the way the Old Testament's written. And that's where you see most of this stuff over here.
Yeah.
Now, let's compare it with what Jesus taught. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, Jesus referring to
I love that scripture
there that in Isaiah, he straightens this mess out.
And I have been healed on this scripture that you're taking us to so many times. It is wonderful.
Now, here's the context of this scripture. Let's start at verse 12. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given. He shall have abundance. And whosoever hath not. Now, he's talking about ears to hear here. If you back up
the
few scriptures, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So if you don't have ears to hear, this is what he's talking about. Whosoever hath ears to hear,
yes, sir,
to him is given, and he shall have more abundance. Whosoever hath not ears to hear shall be taken away from him even that which he hath. So this is referring to the Jews and to other people as well. Therefore, I speak unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand.
Because now, they didn't incline their ear to hear it.
Yeah, they ask him why he was speaking these things in parables. Listen to this. And to them... And to them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, verse 14, which saith. Now, here's what he says Isaiah said, but if you compare it to what it says in Isaiah, the sixth chapter, I believe, the 10th verse or something, it's different. And Jesus ought to know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And listen, he said, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Notice, are dull of hearing. He didn't say, I made them dull of hearing. And their eyes, they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and be converted, and I should heal them. In other words, he said, I'd heal them if they'd just
What God was after, was their healing. You know, I was really, really receiving the healing that I needed. And the Lord pointed out to me, now he said, come down into the 19th verse. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom. Now, if you come back up here, lest any time they should see what? The word of the kingdom.
Yeah.
Lest with their eyes and hear what? The word of the kingdom. And should understand what? The word of the kingdom with their heart. And let the word of the kingdom convert the way they think and what they see and what they hear. I should heal them. When? Anybody, anytime. Now, that is His will all the time. Anybody, anytime. And you take that out and butcher that thing up. I think, too, Charles, when you go, a lot of that problem over here in the book of Isaiah was English. Mm-hmm. There was some stuff in there that if you go back and check out, go to your concordance and see what was said there in Hebrew, and then you see how Jesus explained it. Mm-hmm. It's the most wonderful thing in the world.
Now watch what the Apostle Paul did. Apostle Paul said, what I'm teaching, I didn't learn it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's check up on him and see if he got this revelation that we read there. You get over the last chapter of Acts in verse 26, verse 27. And when he agreed not among, when they agreed not, verse 25.
Now what chapter?
The last chapter of Acts.
Okay, I got you.
And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost through Elias, or Elijah the prophet, to our fathers, saying, go to the people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, be converted, and I should heal them. The exact words of Jesus. So Paul told the truth, didn't he?
Absolutely.
He got
true.
His revelation from Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
So and in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established.
Yeah, he came from a background of the Pharisees that had twisted that thing around.
Yeah.
They shut their eyes on purpose.
See,
and they shut their ears on
God
purpose.
Didn't do it. They closed their eyes.
My goodness. Charles, you did
happens,
it again.
What
you
happens,
don't preach
you,
me.
You walk out in the light from this room, and the sun is so bright you have to squint. The word closed there is a word we get our word squint from. They had in darkness so long, when light came, they closed their eyes.
They closed their eyes. More than once.
Yeah.
They sure did when Jesus
and,
came.
And some people out there have heard this faith message, and they've been in darkness so long, they just closed their eyes to it. It just couldn't be true. It's too good to be true, but it is true.
Boy, you done preach me happy praise. God, anytime, anywhere, Jesus is always ready. Brother Charles and I'll be back in just a moment.
For every believer longing to receive the blessing God has provisioned for each of us, for anyone with a friend or loved one in need of the victory that is the result of Bible faith, Kenneth Copeland Ministries offers the spiritual perspectives of Charles Capps, presented in this profound book, Faith and Confession. Faith and Confession is a practical, biblical look at exactly how to activate Bible faith in your daily life. This is nearly 300 pages that clearly outline how the faith-born confessions of God's Word tap into the supernatural realm of blessings. This is a 21st century look at the biblical principle that balances faith and confession. In this book, Charles Capps explains how the law of faith works, the difference between a confession and a lie, and how to use wisdom when acting on faith. The abundant life God desires for every believer is within reach. For you and for someone you love, Faith and Confession from Charles Capps will open the door. To order your copy of Charles Capps' book, Faith and Confession, log on to kcm.org and order online. This book is essential for your family and is available for just $12. To order by phone, call us at 800-575-4455. You may also write to us at Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order your copy of Faith and Confession by Charles Capps today.
Now this brings us to a place today that is so vitally important. Now you listen to me. I don't care what your past is all about. The past is past. I don't care. The Bible said Jesus died for the ungodly and you and I qualified. Now, get that out of the way. God has provided the way to start your life over again, reborn, not even the same human being in the sight of God. Faith is available. Jesus fought and paid for it, and he defeated hell so you and I don't have to go. Now, get those old religious ideas out of your mind. Yeah, but, you know, he don't care nothing about me. I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to be as blunt with you as I possibly can. To hell with that. That's where that belongs, because that's where that come from. Jesus has come so that whosoever... Let me read this to you. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and I'm telling you right now, on the word of God's authority, that has happened. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Believe it. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession of what? That he's Lord. Hallelujah. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be saved, shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord is rich unto all. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Just pray it. Oh, God in heaven, I believe with all my heart Jesus has been raised from the dead. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I receive you as my Savior. I repent of sin. I repent and renounce the past. And I receive you as my Lord and my future. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that with me today, I want you to get online, use the information on your screen, write, call, whatever you have to do. I'll send you these five little books, free and postpaid, to help you get started reading your Bible. We'll see you tomorrow. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you made Jesus the Lord of your life today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the family of God. To help you get started learning your Bible, they have put together a special salvation package, which includes five books and a study brochure. Request your free package online when you log on to kcm.org. This is the year of the fullness of blessing. Take hold of the promises of God and receive the manifestation of the blessing without measure. Jump into faith, hope, and love. Come to the 2008 Great Lakes Believers Convention August 18th to 23rd at the U.S. Cellular Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, Keith Moore, and Bill Winston for 6 days of soaking in God's Word. Super Kid Academy will also be in session for children ages 6 through 12. To find out more, call 800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
My spirit knows all about me. I don't, but my spirit does. And God's spirit knows all about God. You get those two spirits together, yes, in the Holy Spirit, amen, and you've contacted the source, yes, of all knowledge. Sir.